The Gospel reading is from St. Luke chapter 15. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to Jesus to listen to him. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons, and the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat, but here am I dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.'" So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son." But his father ordered his servants, "Quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, "Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound." He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, "Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf." He said to him, "My son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found." A man had two sons. Thus begins one of the greatest stories ever told, the story of the prodigal son. It is sometimes now called the story of the prodigal father, or even the story of the elder brother. All three characters are important and teach us something essential about ourselves, about our relationships with others, and about God. Henry Nouwen was a Dutch priest and writer in spirituality. One of his last books is also one of his most popular books, called The Return of the Prodigal Son, A Story of Homecoming. It is a long meditation on the parable of the prodigal son, using the text of Luke chapter 15, which I have just read, and a painting by Rembrandt called The Return of the Prodigal, which hangs in the Hermitage Gallery in St. Petersburg. The younger son is the best known character in the story, the one who is anxious to leave home, go away and have a good time and see the world. His request for his inheritance says to his father, in effect, "It's time you were dead." One can imagine the kind of wound that must be to a father. Yet he lets him go. The son's departure is a radical rejection of home. In his eagerness to be gone, he has become deaf to the voice of love. Worse is to follow as he wastes what he has been given, falls on hard times, and finds himself, horror of horrors for a Jew, reduced to looking after pigs. Worse still is his hunger to eat even what the pigs were eating. It is difficult to imagine anybody sinking lower. He is completely lost, his plans and dreams in tatters around his feet, just like his shoes in Rembrandt's painting. He is adrift in an alien and foreign land. But he came to himself. What does this mean? It is the turning point of his story, and so is worth pondering. Nouwen interprets it as meaning he remembered whose son he was. He remembered his father. He is unable to claim anything more from his father, who has already given him his share of the inheritance. All he can stand on is the fact that he is a son. It is true he has messed up his life. He feels unworthy to be counted now as his father's son. But perhaps the father will take him back as a servant in his household. And so he takes the long journey home. Long, at least in terms of the moral courage it required. Some people will find it easy to identify with the rake, the younger son. I suspect, though, that more of us see ourselves in the older one and sympathise with his position. After all, he has been working hard for his father, has stayed with him, has tried to do his best, has looked after the family property. And when this wastrel comes home, having destroyed a goodly portion of the family's property, the father welcomes him back like a hero and throws a great feast in his honour. The elder brother has the more difficult task to try to come home to his brother in spite of resentment and bitterness. He refuses to join the party. He cannot enter into that joy. There is a great tragedy here. A good person finds himself alienated from home, struggling with things from which it is more difficult to be converted. We are not told whether the elder son was able to make the journey required of him, whether he did, in fact, enter the house. We're not told this, perhaps because the story is addressed also to us and presents us with this question. Are you to be reconciled with your father and brother, with your mother and sister? The story of the elder son does not end on a page of the gospel text, but in the life of each of us as we struggle with similar difficulties. We are told that the father appealed to the elder son to come to himself. Disowning his brother and his father, the elder son refers to the prodigal as your son. In reply, the father refers to him as your brother. Like his brother, the elder son needs to remember who he is, where he belongs, where home is. He must let go of rivalry, learn to trust, be grateful, and share in the common joy, the sound of angels cheering as a sinner repents and returns to the household. The third character in the story is the father, old, and in Rembrandt's painting, almost blind, but full of compassion, watching out for his son and rushing to meet him before he arrives at the house. He represents for us the heart of God, which is rich in mercy and open to all equally, the first and everlasting love, which has brought us into being and sustains us in all our ways, even when those ways involve journeys through selfishness and ruin, through resentment and bitterness. We may see ourselves in one of the sons, or in both, but we must also come to be like the Father, compassionate as our Heavenly Father is compassionate.